Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you to let you know that one of the organizations that has been birthed out of Bethany Baptist Church is the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. This fall, we will be offering four classes: Right to Life, Right to Choose, and this will look at the subject of abortion and give us a more comprehensive perspective in light of God's Word. American Sign Language, where we teach people how to sign to the deaf culture in the Christian context. We also have biblical counseling, where we train people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have apologetics, where we defend the Christian faith. The classes begin this fall. They are all Zoom classes, so you can take them right from the convenience of your home. If you are interested or want more information, call 412-242-3255. To register or for more information, call 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today as we continue in the Psalms, with the first half of On the Road Again, Part 2 from Psalms 51. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalms 51, and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of On the Road Again, Part 2.
It started a couple of weeks ago, and we were dealing with this whole issue of getting back on the road again in Psalm 51. We got about halfway through the message last time, and we're going to finish it up today. Now, I didn't bring the notes. Hopefully, you brought your notes from last time, and you can follow along with us, but we do have a PowerPoint today. Amen. I don't know if you can remember a day for you when you were in fellowship with God, when the sweetness of God's presence in your life just encouraged your heart, it uplifted your spirit, and you just felt like you were walking through this life. And even though you were dealing with trials and tribulations, even though you were dealing with issues, that you were still able to sense the presence of God in your life. You were able to sense that God was with you, and that as you traveled through life, that he accompanied you in everything that you did. Hopefully that's your testimony today. But if not, you know, we want to let you know that is available to you here today. Isaiah, he spoke of a day when the people of God would travel on a highway called the Highway of Holiness. Look at Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. And in Isaiah chapter 35, the prophet Isaiah talks about this future day when the people of God would go to and fro to the place of God. And it talks about this highway that God's people will travel. In chapter 35, in verse 8, in the King James, it says this: "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Now, as we look at this highway, there are four things about this highway that I didn't share with you the last time that I want to share with you today. Four features of this highway. And the first feature of the highway is it is a place of holiness. It's a place of holiness. Notice that he says that the unclean shall not pass on it, and the fool shall not
travel thereon. That this highway is a place of fellowship. This highway is a place where God's people travel in unison all together. And even though he's talking about a future day, I just want to let you know that day is available today. That day when you, as a child of God, can travel this highway and that you can enjoy the fellowship. Oh, you know, sometimes we get in contact and communication with the wrong crowd. And, you know, we are in the world and we have to deal with people of the world. But my brothers and sisters, that there should be a sweetness about our fellowship with the saints of God. Because there's one thing about God's people is that we should all be going the same way. And we should all be traveling this highway of holiness. The second thing that we see about this highway is in verse 9. And it says that this highway is a place of safety. It says here, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. My. A place of safety. That when you're walking on God's road, it's a safe road. See, when I'm walking and I'm trying to keep my life clean and I'm abstaining from immorality and immoral relationship, I'm walking in a place of safety. You know, it's the person who's practicing unsafe sex that's not traveling the road of safety. It's the person that's hanging with the wrong crowd that's going to get them in trouble that's not traveling the way of safety. But when I'm walking on the highway of holiness, it's a place of holiness. It's a place of safety. Oh, I like this right here. It's a place of true fellowship. True fellowship. Verse 9, no lion shall be thereon, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. As I said last time, one indication that you're going the right direction is that there's few people traveling on the road. If you're on the road where there's a whole bunch of folk, then you better be concerned, because that means that what Jesus said, that the broad road leads to destruction. There are a lot of people traveling that road. You know, I know when I got saved and I was a sophomore in college, you know, that was one of the most lonely roads that I ever had to travel. You know, I shared the relationship that me and my wife, we haven't always had a relationship that glorified God. But when I got saved, the first thing I wanted to do was straighten that relationship up. And I went back and told her that the things that we did before, we can't do anymore. And she wasn't down with that. She wasn't going in that direction. And I remember her leaving, realizing that the woman that I loved, the lady that I loved, that I may not see anymore. And you know what? It was a lonely road for a while, until one evening she came back and knocked on the door, and she said, I want what you got. And I was able to open up the scripture and show her what it meant to become a child of God. But you know what? It still was a lonely road after that, because all my buddies and all my partners and all the people that I hung around with, because I decided that I was going to travel the highway of holiness. It was a lonely road. It was many times when guys were going places when we were on road trips for football games, and they would go do things, and I would stay in that lonely place fellowshipping with God. But there's one thing I knew in the midst of all that, that I was going and traveling on the right road. And this road is there's few people on it. But when you find somebody that's traveling on this road, it's good to know that you can have true fellowship with the people that are traveling on this road. Some of you might be riding to work in the morning, and as you're riding on the bus, you find somebody that's on this road, and you say, praise the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And somebody from the other side of the bus will say, all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know that you got somebody. You found a traveler in the midst of everybody on the bus. You found a traveler who's on the road, the way of true fellowship. Oh, and I like this right here. You know you're on the highway because it's a place of joy. Look what he says here in verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. On this road, it's a place of joy. We say it all the time. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I got a joy. I like when Deacon Mike Cephas sings that song. I got joy. I got joy. And when you're on the road, you got joy. People in the world have fun. People in the, man, there's a whole, you know, sin is fun. Sin is a whole lot of fun. But you don't have joy when you're in sin. You got joy when you're walking on the highway of holiness. Well, we see that God desires that his people travel this highway. In Leviticus 11:44, he said, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." In 1 Peter 1:15-16, God wants his people to travel this highway of holiness. He said, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That word conversation in the Greek actually means lifestyle. Be holy in all manner of living lifestyle, because as it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." But we see sin has caused God's people to get off this highway of holiness. And we all find ourselves at times committing sin. There are sins of omission, and that is failing to do something that you are supposed to do. There are sins of commission, and those are sins that you commit by violating a principle or standard or law of God. There are external sins, sins that you commit which everyone can see. And there are internal sins that only you and God know about. There are deliberate sins. There are some folk that will deliberately and willfully go out and sin and continue in sin. And then there are unintentional sins. You know, sometimes we commit sins that we didn't want to. You know, like Paul, we read in Romans chapter 7, he didn't want to sin, but the things he didn't want to do, those are the things that he did. And so sin has caused us to get off of this road of holiness. Now, Psalm 51 tells us how to get on the road again. It tells us how to get on the road again. As a matter of fact, I wrote a song. And I wrote a song, and the title of the song is "On the Road Again." On the road again, I just can't wait to get on the road again. Living a life where I can have victory over sin, I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. Fighting a battle that Christ helps me to win, I just can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. On the road where there's peace and joy and safety. On the road where there's true fellowship. On the road where there's holiness. I can't wait to get on the road again. I don't know about you, but are you on the road right now? Are you traveling on that road that Isaiah talked about today? Psalm 51 tells us how to get back on the road again. As we look at the background to this psalm, we see that if you'll turn back to Psalm 51, you'll see that the superscription says that this was to, in the superscription is that phrase or that sentence or two that comes before the actual psalm itself. And it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba." So this is the background of this psalm. So we don't have to wonder and we don't have to guess, well, what was the circumstances? What was the cause of this psalm being written? It tells us right there why David wrote this psalm. Now, as we think about this psalm, I want to think about for a second David. We see that David was a saint. David was a saint. David, first of all, was zealous for the Lord. This brother was zealous for the Lord. You remember when Goliath had challenged the people of God and David showed up because he was bringing some bag lunches to his brothers and he saw Goliath down there in the valley selling wolf tickets? And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that challenges the God of Israel?" David was zealous. Man, he was zealous for God. The second thing that we see is that David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. Oh, David composed many psalms, and he had a reputation as being the sweet psalmist of Israel. that if there was a psalm that could be written, David could write it, and he could write it so beautifully and so melodious and so sweet that he got the name the Sweet Psalmist of Israel. It says that David was a man after God's own heart. You know what that means? That means that David wanted to know what the heart of God was. He wanted to know what God's heart was. And then once he found out what God's heart was, he ran after it. He desired God. And David was a righteous man, according to 1 Kings 15. He was a righteous man. We're not talking about some bozo that just got saved. We're talking about a man of God. We're talking about a man who's on fire for God. And you know, if this could happen to a man of God who's on fire, I'm sure that it can happen to folks that are sitting here today. You've gotten off the road to holiness. You've gotten off the zealousness for God. You've got away from the songs of God. You're not after God's heart anymore, but you're after your heart and the heart of other things, and you're not a righteous person. Maybe that's where you are today. What a blessing it is to know that we can get back on the road again. David, the saint, but look at this. David, the sinner. David, the sinner. In my devotions last week, I've been reading back through the Bible this year. And I came across this passage, and I'm sure that I've read it 100 times before. But this passage hasn't stuck out to me like it did the last time I read it this week. And I'm going to ask that you would turn there. And it's 1 Samuel 15 and verse 5. This passage, I don't know why, maybe because I'm in the midst of preaching this 51st Psalm, that this passage jumped out at me. And I had missed it time and time again. Excuse me, that might be, let me check that. It might be 2 Samuel. Is that 2 Samuel? Well, I'll get it straight. I got it here somewhere. I know where it's at. I know I read it. Now I'm going to find it for you too. Okay. Sorry about that. You can make that correction. It's actually 1 Kings 15, 55. 1 Kings, make that correction. 1 Kings. Read this passage time and time again. But look what it says here. 1 Kings 15 and verse 55. It was talking about some of the descendants of David, and they make a reference to David in the midst of talking about his descendants. And it says here in verse 5, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. And look at the sad, sad footnote. Sad footnote, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Man, do you see what that's saying? That when David got right with God from a child, that the whole time, his heart was after God, that he was concerned about righteousness. He was concerned about loving God and serving God, except one time. One time. I was talking to somebody week before last, and they were telling me about this youth pastor who went online, and he got caught up talking to this young girl on the internet and began to say some things and act inappropriately, and come to find out that the mother of this girl was actually in the habit or the process, and it wasn't a police sting operation or anything like that. She was just doing this on her own. She was in the habit of doing this to catch, you know, online predators and to turn them in. This youth pastor, by his own confession, that's the first time he ever did it. The first time he ever dealt with this issue of child pornography and going online and having communication, he got busted and he got exposed, and his ministry was destroyed because of one thing. One thing. And David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, a man after God's own heart, David, a righteous man, all those things that we know about David. Guess what's that one thing that sticks in our mind about him? That often we mention the life of David, but when you mention his life, we often can mention it with mentioning the fact that he committed this great sin with Bathsheba. And here in this footnote, in 1 Kings 15, it says that David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. All the days of his life. Except only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Man, that speaks volumes. That should speak volumes. That means that you should always watch your testimony. Always guard your mind, guard your heart. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I was going to speak at a camp down there. And I was in the airport, Atlanta, Georgia. A place where you don't think nobody would know who you are. Walking through the airport. And somebody ran up to me and said, Reverend Glaze! I said, oh my goodness, who is that? And they said they were here, they met me. I did a wedding here at Bethany. And they were here at a wedding at Bethany. Man, you don't know. You don't know who sees you, who's watching you. But more than anything else, my friends, be assured of the fact that God is watching you. That God knows. And God had it recorded in the scripture that this man did everything right all his days. Except one thing. And that one thing got him in big trouble. Big trouble. Look at Psalm 19 real quick. Psalm 19. Oh, I'm trying to finish this for y'all, saints. I'm trying to finish this for y'all. I don't want to turn this into a three-week series. No. Psalm 19. David, once again, writing in Psalm 19. Look what his prayer. And I got to confess that I didn't study the background of this to find out when David wrote this, whether it was before or after his fall. So I'm not sure. But look what he says in verse 13. Psalm 19, verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright. And look at this. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Not from the little one. Not from telling a lie about somebody, which is bad enough. Or not from doing something that I shouldn't. He said from the great transgression. David was concerned about the great transgression. Are you concerned about the great transgression in your life? Maybe it might be the great transgression is in your marriage. You got to keep those little presumptuous things out from causing that damage. Maybe it's those soft choices that you are making along the way. You know, a lot of God's people make soft choices along the way. And the next thing they know, they end up with the great transgression. David said, Lord, keep me from the great transgression. Like I said, I don't know if he wrote that before or after. But if he wrote it after, you know that he was saying this with a heart, knowing that I've been through this through experience. I've been through this firsthand, and I don't want to go back through it again.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Fine-Tuning Your Focus on the Lord from Psalm 73. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, On the Road Again, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. And it's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Myrna Patterson reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.